Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me. Well, with the Lord's help, today perhaps we conclude a message I began this week entitled, The Greatest of These is Charity. And just by way of quick review, we used as our text 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we began by looking at God's love toward us. And perhaps I should take just a moment, if at any time, if you have internet, if you miss a broadcast, feel free to just go to unveilchrist.org, our website, and you can click on the broadcast and they're archived there for several years, and you can listen at your convenience at any time. If you miss a broadcast or you'd like to rehear one, and, you know, I'm just thinking the Lord gave a really powerful prophecy on Monday, and that might be worth listening to again. In fact, I think that's something I could rehear again. Praise God. The Lord ministers to me sometimes through the letters. I pick up a letter that I've written maybe years ago, and the prophetic word speaks that day to my heart. So just know it is the Holy Spirit, because I tell you what, only the Lord can express some of the things that He does. It's certainly not in me. But at any rate, we've been looking at the love of God, that how great His love was toward us. It was expressed in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we were looking at how we can demonstrate the love of God in our own lives toward Him. In other words, a reciprocal relationship, because Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And that's expressed also in the New Covenant, Matthew 22 and 37. And I shared that we can manifest our love to God by ministering to Him, in being with Him, in praise and worship. We also minister to Him by expressing love to others, because Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 40, as much as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. And by obeying Him, by preferring Him above all others, He's the most important relationship in our lives, as well as taking up our cross for Him. And we were looking at on the last broadcast, how our love to God should be. In other words, what's the qualities, characteristics of it? It should be ardent, and it should be enduring, even unto death. That if something comes up and we are called to lay down our life for Christ, we'd be willing to do that rather than to deny Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then also now, finally, the other aspect I'd like to share of the love that we're to have toward God, it's to be unquenchable. And that word I used came from the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. And help me, perhaps I can help you understand that by explaining it to you. Waters in the Word or in Scripture are sometimes representative of trials or battles. And so another way of expressing this is, your love for God is not going to be diminished because of the trials or battles you go through. And beloved, I've been in ministry a long time. This is a real possibility. I have seen those Christians who have gone through real tragedy in their lives, as a result, they're not serving God, because they didn't understand. The worst possible scenario occurred, and their faith was shaken, and they just turned their back on God, walked away. And beloved, so it is a possibility, and that's one of the ways that God really tests the love that we have for Him. He did it in the church in the wilderness. The Israelites, as they were traveling, it says in the Old Covenant, He said, He tested and tried them to see what was in their heart, to see whether they would serve Him or no. And so, beloved, don't let any trial that you go through drive you from your relationship with God. If anything, it needs to draw you closer. In Him you'll have comfort. In Him you'll have help and provision. Psalm 73 and 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth." If you're feeling like that right now, what does the psalmist say? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. A time of battle may come when you no longer have faith in your faith. That's not a good place to have faith anyway. We need to have faith in the giver of the faith. 1 John, which is the Lord, of course. 1 John 3, verses 20 and 21 declare, "But if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Sometimes you can go through such a battle, you can question or not, whether or not you're saved. Beloved, the devil knows how to, and he's not a good fighter. I mean, he uses unethical things. He uses low-down strategies. He uses anything, because what motivates him, it's the very opposite of love. It's absolute hatred. Hatred for God and hatred for anything and anyone God loves. And so that's why, even in terms of this world, he's alienated people from God. He's darkened their minds. He's destroyed the beauty of this world. A man has done it to a great extent, but he wants to devastate, destroy everything that God, and it has anything to do with God. Why? He's a liar from the beginning, and Jesus gave his mode of operation. He's come to do nothing but steal, kill, rob, destroy. All right, well, we have shared about how we're to love God. Now, let's, as I bring this message to a close, just conclude on what the Word has to say in terms of God's promises to those who do love Him. Well, first of all, He knows you. He knows you by name. 1 Corinthians 8 and 3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." And if you love God, you will partake of God's mercy. His mercy is in the heavens. His loving kindness is so great to them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Exodus 20 and 6 says, "And showing mercy," speaking of the Lord, "unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations." Praise God. Some more promises. There's more. Yes, indeed. We are preserved by Him. Psalm 145 and 20 declares, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy." And because we love Him, not only are we preserved by Him, not only do we have His mercy, His kindness, His loving kindness, not only are we known of Him, but we can count on deliverance from the work of the enemy, deliverance from the hard places, deliverance from the time of testing and battle. That beautiful Psalm, Psalm 91, that talks about no matter what, you know, 1,000 shall fall at thy hand, 10,000 at thy right hand. Verse 14 says, after the psalmist declares all these things that God will do, then the Lord starts speaking. And He says, because in verse 14, "He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because He hath known my name. And then a final promise, we have all things working for our good. There's nothing better than that. Romans 8:28, a familiar passage. We know all those things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So just quickly, we partake of his mercy. We are known of him, we're preserved by him, we're delivered by him, and we have everything working for our good. So, as I just bring this now to a final conclusion, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're talking about the love for God. And let's read, I'm just going to read a portion of it, but I'm going to read it starting at verse 6. As we love God, think of it in this context as I read it. Rejoiceth not our love toward God, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. See, that's going through all the trials and battles and not letting that love fade. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we bring this broadcast to a close for the way you've ministered to us through your word. And we ask, Father, that you would cause our love for you, towards you, to be fervent, to be enduring. Lord, that nothing that comes into our life, into our existence, would cause us ever to turn away from you or deny you. Strengthen your beloved, Father, and let them walk in an ardent, in an enduring and passionate love for you that will never be dismayed or discouraged because of the greatness of your love for us. Amen. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me, and we'll look forward to what the Lord has the next time we gather together. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.